All right, let's get to our Bible study. Thank you, Jesus. And let's open our Bibles. How wonderful to say that. And we're going to Philippians. And tonight, praise God, we're in that glorious third chapter. And how exciting, and maybe some of the excitement the Lord has so sweetly hit me with today is the excitement that this sweet chapter begins with. And look at that, there in the third chapter. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people would ask, well, how could it be? How could it have been for these different ones? This was a dire time. Let me tell you something. They were hostile to Christians here in Philippi. It wasn't a pleasant place to be a Christian. Kind of reminds me a little bit maybe of what's going on here. Huh? But you know what? It's always a pleasant place to be a Christian if you know the Word of God, because He's got you exactly where you need to be. You're exactly who you need to be. Your parents or lack thereof, your children, your brothers and sisters, your friend, your good boss or your ogre master, whatever it may be, praise be to God. I know that He will perfect that which concerns you. And see, that's His promise. Praise be to God. So, my goodness, we're in good standing, and we just need to realize that, and we'll be in such a sweet and good state. Praise be to God. But again, there's some that would ask, well, how could it be? But with what I just said, and especially with the grace that these sweet Philippians received here in chapters 1 and 2, and I pray that we're including ourselves here, brothers and sisters, to be these sweet saints that are full of joy. Really, the question is not, how could it be? How could it not be? Huh? How could it not be? God help us. We are without excuse. And we're without excuse not to rejoice. Amen? Amen. And I know it doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to be just standing on the mountaintop. I've been accused of, brother, it seems like, and they don't, you got to be with me all week. But I'm thankful when we get to a Bible study, a lot of times it is kind of the mountaintop of the week. Praise be to God. You know what I'm saying? But He knows what we need. And we just have to realize that sometimes the most precious place to be is in the valley of the shadow of death, huh? Amen. Wherever He's got us, we know it's well. It's just well. I believe He's getting the eyes, enlightening the eyes of our understanding to really grasp that. And it is so wonderful to see it and see it in the saints, not just in our own lives, but to see it in the saints. See, that's what's so magnificent is it's, you know, they say it's like electrifying or whatever. It's so far beyond that. The supplying of the Lord is glory. And it's just fabulous to see the till we all come coming about in one another's lives. But here we go. It's so wonderful that these saints here that we're reading about, it's being confirmed to their lives who they are in Christ. They're getting it. Hallelujah. It's coming to pass in their lives. They're growing up. They're understanding, praise the Lord, that they're heirs to be of the exceeding riches of His grace. They realize by His grace that we are the inheritance of the living God. Isn't that marvelous? My goodness, hallelujah. We got to see souls to see that. We see all of our inadequacies, shortcomings, insecurities, any of that. That's not it. Praise the Lord that that is it that keeps us on our knees. Praise the Lord that that's what keeps us calling out to God. Thanks be to God that that's that continued fellowship with Him, that Lord, I am before Your throne on my knees. And thanks be to God, I realize and know because You've promised that I am receiving every bit of grace and mercy for my need of help. And I need help. And you do too. No matter how good or bad you're feeling tonight, you still always need help. You need Him. And praise be to God, we know that's by faith. But the fellowship that these brothers and sisters, and truly I'm talking about God again, putting us by faith in spirit in this sweet fellowship that is in the gospel of Christ and how and what He's wrought in us in that gospel of Christ and that building up of His word in our lives. Grace, brothers and sisters, can you imagine as you stand back and watch your life, grace causing us to will and to do of His good pleasure? Huh? How many of us really, I mean, if you really think about it, all the way that we could have gone, could even ever have imagined I'm here on a Wednesday night in a Bible study? And I'm not here by force or anything like that. I'm actually glad to be here. I'm thankful to be here. I'm actually, there might even be a few that are ecstatic to be here. Can you imagine that? Not because of any one of us, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the privilege to come and to truly hear his word and to be thankful and to say, Lord, my goodness, hallelujah. It's not just why me anymore. It's me, hallelujah. Praise God, I'm understanding. It's me that you're interested in. It's you that he's interested in. He's circled us. He's called us out. He's chosen. Praise God. And grace, 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 grace. Remember that. And how beautiful that we respond again to that grace. But here it is. We think about what we've just come through. The reason that Paul can say to these sweet saints that are here in this time, in this age, and in this place where it's very difficult to be a Christian, that they're persecuted. Remember where Paul is at this time as well, too, and the rejoicing that's going on in him. He's in prison. And Philippi was not a very pleasant place to him. They beat him there. They chased him out of there. So you know what's going on here. There is a lot of suffering. And Paul has just told us by the Holy Spirit, rejoice, be thankful. Understand what suffering for Christ's sake is. There isn't any more glory that he could ever bestow on us than that suffering for his sake. But they have so much desire here, brothers and sisters, that we read back in the 16th verse of the second chapter, it says, holding forth the word of life. Never forget what that holding forth means. It means to have and to hold. It's just like the sweet vows that a husband and wife to be and moments to be, say to one another before a minister pronounces them husband and wife. They say, do you promise to have and to hold? Praise God. I'm thankful. I don't promise to have and to hold. I say grace by God's grace. It's working in me, and he's going to cause me to want to have and to hold the word, as it says here, of life. I'll translate that for you, Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. See, this is how intimate this wonderful letter is and what's going on here. See, the crown, brothers and sisters, that we hold fast is firmly, firmly in hand. It's appreciated. There's a great gratitude, a thankfulness, because he's given us a little strength. Amen? Amen. See, thou hast a little strength. And we rejoice by grace that we will rejoice with Paul, that I too have won him. Amen. That's what it is about. So we thank him. So do you think in that you can rejoice? You think so? Well, you know it, because that's what we know in Christ. His brother prayed, Lord, thou knowest. I know that you know. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're going to finish the good work that you begun. And I'm so thankful to God that I can rejoice and rely in that grace. But notice here too, he says, finally, moreover, henceforth, actually, it means forever, forever, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. With what we know, rejoice in the Lord. Be glad. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, and I know this is in Greek, don't get me wrong here, but in the Hebrew, I love this too. This word means to overcome. And yes, finally, forever, we're full overcomers in Christ as we look to him. This love vision, we overcome through everything. Hallelujah. See, by God's grace, I have to admit, and I'm thankful, I've never seen, during a wedding, a mournful bride. I've seen them cry, but tears of joy. I haven't seen them sad here, thanks be to God. If there was sad, we might have to call time out. But we're thankful. They've usually been happy. And I'm thankful to God. The last one we had here, I think that she was ready to burst. But how much the more the bride that is waiting to marry Jesus, that her rejoicing is. And we know that. And she can rejoice through all things because she knows what's awaiting her. She knows what's coming. Praise God that wonderful chamberlain has given her the spices and given her the ointments and all of these different things. And she's ready. She's ready. Honey, you just take out what I've given. And you have those ones that are encouraging and those that love you in the Lord. Honey, you just do exactly what he says. That Holy Spirit, praise God. Just do everything there. Don't take anything else but what the Holy Spirit tells you. And you're going to go out there and you're going to ravish the heart of the king. I know it's going to happen. I know in a way you're just stunned. But you'll believe it by faith. Just faith like a child. Now get on out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're ready because of grace and grace alone. But she loves, brothers and sisters, she loves to run the race to win Christ. She sees the privilege. See, that's how you love to run, is you receive the privilege in your heart. There's a gratitude. Lord, thank you that you allow me to see this. Thank you that you're so meaningful to me, that this word is so meaningful. How weak a word to say so meaningful, but you know, come on, this is kind of what we are. We're weak little vessels here, but it is. It's just so beyond that God has caused us to see this privilege to run his race, and the privilege to, no matter what the cost is, because it's such gain. Colossians talks about the vocation, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the height of it, that wonderful vocation that he's touched you with, that this is what we are enamored with because of Christ in us. This wonderful life that's his life that responds in believing and in love and in appreciation and thankfulness, that's willing by God's grace to suffer. And that has to be him. It couldn't be any of us. We know that. And that's the beauty of it, is because that we know that through Christ we can do all things because he's the one that strengthens us, isn't it? Amen? Amen. That the joy of the Lord, it's all the same. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we really see that the joy of the Lord, us, that was set before him on that cross, that's the reason he endured the death of the cross. When we really see that joy that was set before him, the love. And see, we're talking about an omnipresent, omniscient God that we can never even understand. But he saw us in Christ, but he saw you and you, and he saw me. I can take it that personal, that joy was me that he saw. And there wasn't anything that was going to keep him from doing that. Now, the joy of the Lord, that love for me, that is my strength. And praise be to God, in that strength, I can be a joy to you. Can you imagine that? I can be a joy as these sweet Philippian saints were to Paul. Can you imagine being a joy to Paul? No, Paul's just a man. But praise be to God, what a vessel. And thanks be to God that they were supplying him with joy, and especially in a time of need, because he sure had a need, didn't he? Oh, you know it. There were a lot of things, a lot of emotions that were affecting him. I'm confident at this time, being alone, in that prison, persecuted, all of those different things. But praise the Lord, the supplying of that grace through the saints. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful, again, that we can be that to one another. But it's wonderful because this vocation of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this joy that it gives us, can you imagine that we honestly say, Jesus wants to marry me? Jesus wants to marry me. Now that's just beyond. But that's exactly what this word of God, if you'll let it speak to you, this is exactly what it says. I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge, intimate knowledge of the truth. Jesus. Intimate, complete, depth, and relationship as husband and wife, joint heirs together, sunt cluronimus, over and over through the Word of God, whether it was the types and shadows in the Old Testament, praise be to God, they're revealed to us today, and we know these things, and hallelujah, how it comes forth, and this makes us beyond grateful, how our husband-to-be loves us. Matter of fact, I'd use the word ecstatic. And yes, as Brother David said, my heart pants after him. I am delirious. My goodness, can you imagine? You're overjoyed? And let's just go back, yes. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, the Bible study's not over. Just beginning. But hallelujah, that's what sets our hearts aflame, is this precious word and how it goes. So finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence, none, zip, in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? So see, Paul here is saying, even though I'm in prison, this isn't out of sorts for me to say this. This isn't backwards. This is not grievous for me to write this. I am
ecstatic. I'm rejoicing, believe it or not. I am. I'm so thankful that you're in a place, a very difficult place for Christians. I was beaten there, but I'm getting a report. I understand. And every thought and every prayer of you is a joy. Hallelujah. You could see it, that rejoicing. Us in Christ, that oneness was being brought, the supplying through the saints, all done through Christ. And he goes on to say, but for you, it is safe. It's firm and true. You don't need to be afraid. It's just what it is. I'm rejoicing for you. I'm thankful for that joy. It is well. So go on. But I'm going to tell you something. Be aware. Beware. Right? This word beware means discern. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And you do have, I'm not talking about necessarily the gift in a sense, some of them do of discernment, but you do know, because Christ in you, even if you be otherwise, he'll make it known to you. You discern these things. Beware of the dogs, the manipulators, brothers and sisters, of the truth. The evil workers, especially found in the Pharisees. Titus 1:10 tells us, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. The Holy Spirit here is waving a big red flag, isn't he? Beware of those that are caught up into legality. Beware. Understand this, brothers and sisters. It is so subtle. But self-righteousness is deadly to your walk. It's deadly. It always is. It will hinder you like none other thing. Galatians 3 goes on to tell us, you know, those were the ones, they ran well, didn't they? But who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's right. That's right. There's something about it, isn't there? There's something about this that craves to do. That craves, I want to be seen. I want this somehow to be of me. I want to take credit. I'm not satisfied. Can you imagine giving God the glory? What a shame. And we've all been there. Every one of us. God help us to be quickened to understand it's only the grace of God. And how wonderful it is to rejoice in the grace of God, isn't it? Isn't it just marvelous? See, that's the oneness that we have, that we realize that it's all Him. It's all Christ in us. Amen? Us in Christ. That's everything. That's all it is. And that's where we can just settle down and know and rejoice. And the oneness that we share is because we know that it's Christ. Praise God. Amen. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Isn't that just awesome? We're just one in Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. There's a pattern. Him, 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 Him. So, Christians, and especially Spirit-filled Christians, oftentimes the greatest foe is legality. It's true. We know this. Self-righteousness. I've seen many, many, and you have too, that truly have come to a vision of the bridal truth. That the enemy has gotten at with, well, it's only going to be one somehow through my self-righteousness. Somehow, some way. I know a dear brother who ran well. I want to run well. I don't want to have ran well. I want to run well. I want to be ready. Amen. Amen. And somehow, again, caught up again into those ones that truly are manipulators of the truth. But you're only going to get there now by keeping the Ten Commandments. Whoa, 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 whoa. Grow in grace. Get even stronger in grace. Isn't that how you become more rejoicing in the Lord? Because you become stronger in grace. You realize how immense grace is more and more each and every moment. How incredible it is. Every single moment of your life, it's that room that keeps getting bigger. it's beyond. Like I say, it's endless, because in the ages to come, it's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace. Isn't that amazing? I just love it.
And it's so amazing how God brings this to us. But brothers and sisters, somehow, some way, the tempting that we can do something, that somehow we can add something, that somehow through our efforts or talents, we can achieve some additional favor or status from God. And the Lord over and over through His Word shows us and tells us and pleads with us. My Father is disgusted with that. It's filthy rags. You're insulting my Father because He gave you me. See? Freely. Isn't that beautiful? Beautifully simple, beautifully lovely. It'll never be, you just couldn't describe it, but it's just so awesomely, magnificently beautiful. Wow. Somebody listen to that and you're going to have to say, my goodness, did you ever go to English class? You know, I really don't care. I just want to describe by God's grace as the Holy Spirit gives words to express the beauty of the Lord. But, you know, brothers and sisters, He does it all. Can you imagine that? Isn't that wonderful? That's where we can just kind of rest with God, just as God showed us there in Hebrews. He said, see, God rested on that day because He knew it was well. It was in His Son. And he who has ceased from his own works enters into the rest of God. Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to work it. I want to rest. I want to rest like God does. I'm sure God has a perfect rest, doesn't He? Because God's perfect. So He's got a perfect rest. And He tells you, you want that? I'll give it to you. But you're going to have to cease from your own works and realize that my Son's got it. Wow. Okay, chew on that. But He does it all. He's everything. Everything that I am. I am what I am by His grace. He has to even make us willing to be willing. Amen? Did you bring willing? No, you didn't. He had to make you willing to be willing. He had to cause you to be willing to be willing. For Him to will and to do of His good pleasure in us, His grace had to open our hearts. The Word of God says in the 119th Psalm, which is so wonderful, that He has to enlarge our hearts so that we can walk in His ways, that we can walk in His truth. He actually even has to open our hearts to receive the truth. Yeah. That's why you often hear me say, and it's just the Holy Spirit, He's caused us to come here today. He drew us, didn't He? Hallelujah. He put a thirst that only He satisfies in our life. Praise God. Now, Paul goes on to say, for we are the circumcision. I want to talk about the spiritual meaning of this. He's talking about our hearts. Can you imagine that? What he's talking about here is the only circumcision we're cutting away that counts is in the heart. It's not outwardly, but inwardly. Praise God, the old man is dead. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Romans chapter 2, let's go over there. In Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And there's so many verses, brothers and sisters. I hope we understand this. But these are just some sweet highlights talking about this circumcision. And people get so involved into thinking, it was a physical act. You understand the act of circumcision. It was something that was done outwardly, something in the flesh, something that man could bring on in a sense. But here's what God is looking at. He's looking on the heart. Amen? Amen. So here it is. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. This is the 28th verse of the second chapter. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. It's not in the law. Whose praise is not of men. See, that's what the circumcision, in a sense, that's that self-righteousness. Oh, look at, I'm the praise of men. Remember those ones that would beat their chest? Look what I've done. Look what I've given. But God saw that the woman that gave the mite gave more than they all. Because as we rejoiced a couple weeks back, God looks on the heart, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And he's looking, see, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now go over to the 4th chapter in the 11th verse of Romans. Chapter 4, verse 11. And it says there, now this is talking of Abraham. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of
the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Can you imagine that? Abraham wasn't circumcised, but yet he had received it of the heart. Praise the Lord. Now let's keep reading. That he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith. Faith, believing of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. He's looking on the heart, and this is what it is. And then Colossians 2:10. Let's go over there and read that. Colossians chapter 2, 10 and 11. Such heights of glory in this. Yes. And ye are complete in him. Boy, remember that, huh? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Yeah, you're complete in him, aren't you? Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Yeah, he did it, didn't he? Praise God, he did it. It's done. It's done. It's finished. He did it. It's nothing of this law. He performed all that. Hallelujah. See, it's Christ in me, brothers and sisters, and Christ in you that worships God. It's that life. It's his life. He cut away that other stuff. It's dead. Praise God. It's his life. His life in us is what worships the Father. And that's and there's none, as the Word of God says, that comes after him. Only the new man, only Christ in me, can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen? Who are you? Praise God, I'm a son of God. That's who you are. And why? Because of the life of Jesus Christ that now lives in us. And that's the life that worships and praises and grows up. Hallelujah. See, that's why we can. Amen. Because it's that life. That's why we're more than conquerors. Amen? It's not because we get excited or can speak big words or speak loudly or anything like that. It's because of his life. It's because of that seed. It's because of who we are in Christ. And this is what God has done. He's finished that work. And it's all in his Son. And how wonderful it is that the grace of God, that we are completely dependent upon him. That's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful I'm not dependent upon you and you're not dependent upon me. And I'm not dependent upon any of my abilities because I have none and you don't either. You don't. You're completely dependent upon him. Praise God. Yep. That he, brothers and sisters, is it. Our rejoicing is that it is his work. Our rejoicing is that he is the potter and I'm the clay. See, people that want to be people that don't know the Lord, they don't like that kind of talk, do they? Oh, you want to be controlled by somebody? No, I want to be a prisoner of his love. I want to be a prisoner of the greatest lover there ever has been or ever will be. Oh, you're just sick, huh? Yeah, I am. I'm sick of love. Hallelujah. How about you? It's like him. See how he gets that? You can't come up against this. It's too perfect. The sword will always cut it up. This does. Know it. This is your defense. It's the sword. And understand this too. Sometimes we think we will the sword. No, it's just the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful to God. It's him, it's him, it's him. He puts the armor on me, and I know it. Thankful God that I'm still, and you're doing it. Thankful God you put that sword in my hand, and thank you, Lord, that it's the power of your might that does it all. Yep. That's what you got.
Oh, hallelujah. That he will mold me and make me after his will. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters, it is in that grace, and in that grace alone, that then we will have no confidence in the flesh. See, as grace becomes so much, it's like that wineskin. It gets all that dross out of there as the wine's poured in. See, that's the grace. It's that spirit. It's all of that. It's that goodness of the Lord, his perfection. It gets all of that yuck, all of that confidence in me, myself, my will. It throws it out of this vessel. And then we're so thankful, aren't we? And aren't you thankful that the burden is off of you? Oh, I'm so thankful. And especially that burden, that weight is off of me. Because I couldn't bear it anyways. You can't. And praise God that it is nailed to the cross, that it is all his grace. We better move along. Now, it's amazing how much is on one piece of paper, huh? Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Okay. Now Paul goes on to speak. Oh Lord, constrain me. Okay. Paul goes on to speak of his past in these next verses, his natural, the laurels that he has, the accomplishments, the good deeds that man is so often consumed with, huh? Yeah, look what I've done. Yep, come on, let's be honest. It's how we're raised a lot of ways. This is how things are groomed. How much education do you have? First time people meet you, well, what do you do? And if it's not what the person really wanted to hear, they're back over to the next person. You know? Not only was I not sliced bread or spilt milk, I wouldn't even want to tell you maybe what that person thought I was. Doesn't really matter, because I know who I am in Christ. Amen? Amen. But this is how often we find, as we say, our self-worth. You'll have to realize your self-worth is zero. It's nothing. Praise God, but I am worth to him. Oh, my goodness. See, that's the whole thing. Christ in me? Is it about Christ in us? Or is it about still, I got to be something in this world. I've got to show my family that I actually can live up to the name. There's but one name. There's but one family. Praise God. All right. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 4-6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. The Lord sure has a sweet man here. If any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he was famous. I mean, this guy was it. I mean, he was smart. He was from good stock, excellent stock. He had a heritage. He had a lineage. And he walked the lineage. He did. And he walked it fine. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. So there you got it. Pretty amazing stuff. And I'll tell you, when he was in that state, I'll tell you, he was really wrapped up in himself, wasn't he? Oh, you know it. Wrapped up in himself so much. And you talk about a chief of sinner. Because he was wrapped up in self so much. But God had a plan for him. God said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Man, you got so much hope, you don't even realize it. God, wake us up. But he thought he was walking a fine line, yet all the while, all it was is he realized it was the greatest of refuge to his life, waste and garbage. Let's go ahead and read verses 7-9. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now again, I want you to understand, we're talking about the transformation from sinner to saint, and then the transformation from a babe to, you talk about a maturity in Christ, but we're talking all the way along. He's counting this always and throughout. And what a capable, you talk about successful, and successful as a sinner in the eyes of the sinner, and successful, can you imagine, as a saint? Come on now. He was like the chosen vessel of the Jew, of the Pharisee. He was it. And then here he was, that transformation was made, and he was the chosen vessel of the Christian. This was a man. This is a very gifted man. A very endowed. It's kind of an insider. You have to go to choir. But it's all sweet. But I'll tell you what, man. This guy had it. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, that's amazing. All my trophies, my entire life, I thought that's what defined me, but it was all loss. Yep. And that's us. And grace, he's saying here, and grace alone allowed me to count it what it is. Grace. And I counted it. I reckoned it. I've come to the enlightenment that it's all a big nothing. Not just a nothing, not just a negative on my life. But matter of fact, that word loss, it means damages. Damages to my life. If these things in our life, brothers and sisters, truly of this life, that we think make us, that aren't of Christ and His Word, they're damages to us. They're weights. We're not going to soar. We're not going to soar at a moment of a trump. That's a problem. Because God has given us a sweet, precious love message, hasn't He? Honey, come out. Come on now. Realize that that is a damage to your life. And Paul counts it. He reckons it. He sums it up. Praise God. This is grace doing it in his life. And it's grace doing it in yours too. Anything but Christ and Him crucified, ruling and reigning in my life. Anything else is a damage. It hinders me. And there he says it again. To make sure that there is no doubt. Obviously, brothers and sisters, for a sinner. But how much so too for a child of God. If it's of me, if it is of my strength. God help me. I count it all but loss. Let's put it right where it needs to go. This is Him. We are His workmanship, aren't we? I don't want to be anything but. He's so magnificent. He's so beautiful. He's so beyond. He's so perfect. He's such a master. Aren't you thankful you realize that? I want to get out of the way. I just want to watch Him. He's so amazing. Amen? I remember these people with big egos. You know, they'd watch these professional athletes. Well, I want to get out there and, you know, go out there and try. I don't want you to get out there and try. Get out of the way. Let's watch the master do it. Let's watch the ones that really know how to do it. Well, there's only one that knows how to do it in this. And he's it. Watch him. Be still. And the beautiful thing is, it's here and there. There's the masterpiece. You're watching it go on. Sometimes it's not joyous. Sometimes it hurts. But in light of the Word and His message and what He wants in our lives, finally, my brethren, we got it now. We got it. We got the vision. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened, aren't they? We're not deceived. We've got it. rejoice in the Lord. It's good. The Lord just says it's good. It's well. Miss Brother Brown, he'd say, it's cool. Anything that causes me not to credit at all to His grace damages. It'll defeat me. It'll cause me to miss His best. It's all about the one thing. Not things, but the one thing. And He lists it out here for us. The excellency of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word excellency is an incredible word. It's kind of like the Greek where it says exceeding, abundant, above all we ask or think. It's just so far beyond you can't imagine. It's so far beyond that it's not even worthy to utter in comparison to anything else. It'd be great to have words in the English like that, wouldn't it? Whatever that word would be. But it's just so beyond that it's not worthy to utter with anything else. And what is that that's so beyond? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. And we talk about that knowledge often, that word in 1 Timothy 2:4. And what a sweet word that is. That all men be saved and come to the knowledge, the full knowledge, the complete, exact, intimate. This is a different knowledge here. They're different words. That's a precious knowledge, amazing, in Timothy. But you know what? This knowledge is amazing too. Because you know what? It's the Word of God. So it couldn't be anything but amazing, could it? So this knowledge, it means the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of Him. Such as belongs to the more advanced, the mature, the complete and finished ones. How many times does He have to tell us in the Word of God? I mean, really, I think about this and I love having that time alone in the office with the Lord. It's so wonderful. But it is all over the Word of God what He's after in us in Christ. That we grow up and we grow up into Him in all things. That we don't let anything pass us by. Get the glory in it. Get the glory in it. Realize that every breath, every second, every moment, He's at work. Everything. Do you believe it? I pray you do. You're the most meaningful thing to God. And think of God's creation. I was just driving around and looking at how beautiful He's made this fall. The leaves and how the colors are. They're magnificent. Giving us these still days, you go by the water and it's just like glass, and you look at the other side and the leaves are perfect on it. I mean, it's not necessarily close, but I remember driving back through New Hampshire and different things like that in the fall. We're getting some amazing color. It's actually beautiful in Colorado in late fall. It's got color. Color makes everything beautiful. That's what God does. But brothers and sisters, it's so amazing. But here in this verse 8, now hurry up. Possibly the sweetest words the Holy Spirit could ever have coming from our hearts. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. See, that doesn't mean that we physically have to lose these things. But it's of heart that we realize that this is all nothing. That it doesn't have me. Do you understand that? You don't have to be destitute in a prison to have the same spirit that was in work in Paul's heart. Do you understand that? Praise God, I hope we do. There's lots of different groups and sects that believe that they have to sell everything and go sit on the hill and He's coming at this moment. If you can ever get those free things, I encourage you to take them. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of bad to say. All right. Shame on me. But it's true. But brothers and sisters, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I believe he's placing that in our hearts, is he not? He is. We can see it in one another, can't we? Isn't it exciting? Christ in you and Christ in me. I can see it. I can. It's there. Hallelujah. That I may win Christ. That means prize. Can you imagine? Apprehend. Can you imagine? Now you think about this. Paul had been a Christian at this time for about 30 years. 30 years. Think of all of the truth and love that was grown up, passed through that life in 30 years. All the preaching and glory and the Lamb and the blood. Confidence of saying there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. The confidence and beauty and encouraging ones to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to encourage ones to stir up the gift that's in you. All of those years. And yet, here he is. He's awakened to something and continuing to be delirious for it. That I might. I know your grace can do it, Lord. But I don't count that I have apprehended it yet. Come on now, what's he talking about? This is, let's just call it a saint of saints. But yet he's going after something much the more. And he's encouraging these same saints to do it also, isn't he? In Timothy, he comes out very clearly. The Holy Spirit says, and not unto Paul only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his glory? Do you love his appearing in your life? Do you love his appearing in your brother's and sister's life? Is there anything more satisfying? If there is, I don't believe we're ready. We're not, because we don't love his appearing. Do you see that? It's not just the appearing people think of that, well, when he appears, I'm loving his appearing. I'm looking for him. I'm loving. Yeah, that's part of it. But do we realize that Jesus Christ, and I was just rejoicing in this, that he reveals himself in nature. Obviously, here he is in the Word. But do you know what he's chosen? The most magnificent revelation of himself is in man. I was just so amazed today to think about that. This is who he's chosen. The appearing, the glory of God, the transformation of the sons of God. We're watching this happen from glory to glory. And then someday it's going to be for all to know the manifestation. Manifestation of the sons of God. Let me tell you something. The universe forever will take note. It won't just be a blip on a Tuesday night, election night, where ones are paraded around. It's going to be forever. For always. I will make known unto them that I have loved thee. Now, you notice here what he's saying. Even after the Lord revealed to him the hope of the high calling of God and the way of suffering for Christ's sake, he's saying here in this, as he does the Holy Spirit in other places, I even count these sufferings not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Okay. And he comes on to say that I may be found in him. It's exciting because he's bringing us there. That's what's exciting. I see you growing up. There's nothing to compare.
we're growing up in Christ, getting ready to be offered. Sweet smelling sacrifice. It's abundant. It's sweet, isn't it? Hidden away in Christ. Christ in me only. The hope of glory. Found in Him means seen in Him. That I may be seen in Him. Seen in His body. I'm just Him. He's just me. Christ in us, us in Christ. Do you see the oneness going on? God's got to do it. Obtained in Him. Completely immersed and saturated with His grace. His righteousness. Transparent. As we heard so sweetly time and time again, sinny seer. Clear to the light. Sun glory. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. And how sweet it all wraps up. Because it's sweet because it's so simple. By faith in Jesus. Just believe Him. Aren't you thankful it's just so sweetly simple to believe Jesus for this? They're trials, but they're no tests. Didn't have to have the notches and ranks and were you this degree or that degree. By faith in Jesus, His word, merely believing His truth. And yea, as we speak tonight, even the deep things of God, by my Spirit. Let's stand.